And so let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and an important message, not only for us as the church, but also for our time that we live in, and for really, I think, essential to all Christians, is to understand the power and the value of the Word of God. And I think that the world today wants to devalue the Word of God. They want to say the Word of God is not relevant for today, doesn't apply for today, that its truths are old, that they have no power, they have no value, they're worth nothing. And really, that's what the world says about that. And the world says the preaching is just nonsense when we think about what the world would say. And so if we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, I just want to encourage you to understand, and not just for as a missionary, but all of us as we go out into our jobs, as we go out into the world, as we raise our kids, as we're part of a church, to understand that every time you come to hear the Word of God, every time that you preach the Word of God, every time you teach the Word of God, every time you teach it to your children, that you talk about it, that you proclaim it, that it's worth something. It has value and it has power, and it changes lives and it changes this world if we'll just understand that and continue to preach the Word of God. In verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Now, when you think about that word foolishness, it's this word that means pretty much to be without no value, that it means that it's just moronic. The word that it comes from is the Greek word that's moria, and it's, it means silliness or absurd. That's what the world says about what I'm doing at this very moment. They say, this is just absurd. Why would I sit there? I could be watching football. I could be trading my crypto coin. I could be I could be working out. I could be doing so many other things, and I'm sitting here listening to this preacher blab. And they'll say, that's just a bunch of foolishness. And that's what the world would say. To them, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. And when you think about the word preaching, it means to lift up the voice, to proclaim, but we proclaim Jesus. And when we think about the gospel, when I go to Mexico, I preach the gospel. That's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't go over to Mexico to try to make them Americans. I don't go over to Mexico to make them Trump lovers, okay? I'm not trying to put my political beliefs on another nation. That's not why I'm there. I'm there to preach the cross. I'm there to preach Jesus. I'm there to tell them about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's what I'm there to do. And I don't have any other motive to try to make Americans out of them. Although sometimes it's hard, okay? Because I'm a patriot. I love my country. I love America, but let me tell you something. I'm Mexican too. You say, Brother Ryan, you're not Mexican. Yes, I am. My dad was born in Tijuana, Mexico. I have dual citizenship. I'll show you my voting card after church if you want to see it, okay? That's why I have Mexican plates on my card. You can't do that unless you're a Mexican. I love Mexico. It's part of my growing up. It's part of my heritage. I love these both nations. But as I go there, I'm not trying to make them American. And I don't come here to try to make you Mexican, although you should really try the tacos, okay? It's pretty awesome. Maybe that will convert you. But what I'm trying to say is that we're there to preach the gospel. And when you read this, it says that that is the power, that the preaching of the cross, the preaching of Jesus Christ, that is the power that God has given us. That is the power that he wants us to preach. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And that's what we'll see. You know, after time goes on, we'll understand that all these scientists who want to get up and tell us that this isn't real, that science tells us what is a male and a female, and there's a million genders, and this and this and this, and they want to try to redefine what God has said in His Word, and when at the end, when they stand before God, they will understand that that was a bunch of foolishness. And you have to understand this too. The world, you know, what is it? Elon Musk wants to go to Mars and wants to inhabit it, and we're going to live over there. Let me tell you something. You're not going to escape the fate of this planet, okay? God placed you on Earth, and He put you here. What happens to this planet, we're all going to go with it. What's going to happen? And praise the Lord, we can escape that, but you're not escaping it on a rocket. You're going to have to escape it by the gospel. You want to leave the fate of, you don't want to burn with this planet when He wraps it up and He's done with it and He tosses it into the lake of fire. When He says this thing is done, okay? Hey, let me tell you something. We need to understand that if we want to escape the wrath that is to come, it's only by the blood of Jesus. It's only by Jesus Christ. It's not on a rocket to Mars, okay? We have to make sure to just understand that the world thinks they're so smart. They think they're going to escape God's wrath. They think they're going to get away from it. And in the end, it's all foolishness. God's going to show them that their wisdom is foolish. They're investing so much into these foolish projects when we really need to invest in the Word of God. For look what it says here in verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You know, you're not going to get to know God better through Grok. You're not going to get to know God better through ChatGPT. Okay? No AI is going to get us to God. You need His Word. If you want wisdom, it's here. Okay? I don't care how many quantum computers you got going in China. It's never going to be better than the Word of God. This is wisdom. This is wisdom for the ages. This wisdom will never change. This wisdom comes from on high. For the world says that after in that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. By the foolishness of getting that old preacher, getting up there and preaching the Word of God. That has value. That has power. That can reach people. That's still relevant today. It is. And I hope that as we take a few minutes to look at this, I hope you'll see that. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank You for this time to look at the Word of God. Help us to understand the importance of the preaching of the Word of God. We thank You so much for Your Word and that we can preach it. We'd ask that You fill me with Your Holy Spirit, that I might be able to preach Your Word with boldness and clarity of thought and mind, and that we might hear and not only be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word of God. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember my first semester of Bible college. I was getting ready to go home for the break there. It was just the Christmas break. And as I was getting ready to go home, I went before the staff there before we'd have to go for gathering. The staff was gathering the students who couldn't pay off their school bill. And I remember going up there and I met Dr. R. I don't know if you know Dr. R, but he's a big man and he's the executive vice president of the school there. And I remember going up to him and Dr. R said to me, he said, "Ryan, you're behind on your school bill." He said, "How are you going to pay it off?" And I said, "Doctor, I don't know. I'm going to pay it off." And I was thinking about it, and I didn't spend my money that well that year. You know, I had too many tacos and went to too many out a little too much. And so Dr. R was asking me about that. And I said, I remember looking at him and saying, "Dr. R, I know God's called me to this Bible college, and I will graduate from this Bible college." And it was just my first. I'd only been there about 3 months or so. And so he said to me, "All right, Ryan, get lost." So I remember coming back to Oregon. I lived up in this area, and I was working at a Fred Meyer's trying to pay off my bill and getting money together. And as I was doing that, I had my money ready to pay off my bill, but I didn't have a way back to college. And my brother said to me, "Hey, do you want my car?" And so I said, "Yeah, sure." He said, "Yeah, but it doesn't. The motor's blown, so you got to put a new motor in it." And so I took half my money to pay to get put a new motor in my car. And I remember heading back to college, pretty much with no money. I had this broken down old car that the gasket would always break on it, and it would go down the road. And I'm going back there as a broke college student. And I remember thinking, "I think I'm going to go visit my grandpa. He's in Sacramento. He's on the way, going down there." And as I called him up, I said, "Hey, Grandpa, can I meet up with you?" He said, "Yeah." And so we went there, and I met up with my grandpa, and he asked me what I was doing. And I remember telling him, I said, "Grandpa, God has called me to be a missionary, and God has called me into the ministry, and I'm studying at this college." And he said, "Well, how are you paying for it?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to go get a job. I don't have a job right now, but I'm going to get a job down there." And he said, "And you're driving that car?" I said, "Yeah, that's my car." He said, He said, "Well, what are you going to do?" I said, "Well, I'm going to go out and preach, and I'm going to tell others about Jesus Christ and let them know that they can be saved through him." And he said, "I don't understand that." He said, "How much does it pay?" And I remember saying, "I don't know." And at that time, I didn't know how missionaries raised their support. I didn't know any of that. I was brand new. I'd only been saved for about 2 years, and I'm in Bible college. And so I said, "Well, I'm learning about that right now." But I think people give to the, so we can go out and preach the gospel. And he looked at me, he said, is your college accredited?" And at that time, it wasn't accredited. I said, "No, it's not accredited." He said, "Let me think about this. You got a broken down car. You don't have a job. You don't have any money. You're behind in your school bill. You don't even know where you're going to go. You're at a college that's not even accredited." He said, "That's a bunch of foolishness." He said, "What? How are you going to ever do anything? How are you going to pay for yourself? How are you going to pay for a wife and kids?" He said, "How are you going to do that?" And you know, to my grandpa, he wasn't saved, and it was hard for me to explain a life of faith. How do you say that? He couldn't understand it. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I got a better plan for you." And now my grandpa, he worked for Granite Construction Company. He was one of the pretty much the regional managers for Granite Construction Company. And my grandpa put a lot of value in money and working. He had began working at 10 years old, digging in trash cans to get papers and then reselling them so he could feed his brother, because his dad left and his mom was a drunk. And so he would try to feed his brother, and he started working at a construction site, and they started giving him a job cleaning up the area. And then they gave him a job to work there. And then they gave him a job as a foreman. And then they sent him to school. And then he moved up in the company to where now he's a regional manager. And he said, "How about this?" He said, "I'm going to pay for your school." He said, "I'll pay for it." He said, "I'm going to put you in a good school. You study to be a contractor." He said, "I'll give you, when you come out of school, I'll get you a job with Granite. You'll be okay. You'll come out. You'll not work at the, just as a grunge." He said, "You're going to work as a foreman." And he said, "I'll work a couple years that. I'll move you up in the company." And he said, "You'll have enough money to build any church you want to build." And I looked at him and I said, "Grandpa, like I told Dr. R., I believe God called me to that college, and I'm going to graduate from that college." And you know what he said to me? "That's useless. That's foolishness. That's going to get you nowhere." And he said, "If you do that," he said, "don't expect a dime from me. I'm not going to help you with that foolishness." And I remember driving back to Bible college thinking about that. Thinking about that in a moment of my life, I had to make the decision. Did this have value? Yeah. Does this have power? Right. Can this reach somebody? Amen. Can the gospel of Jesus Christ, does it really have an effect? And I remember that. And you know what? God gave me a job when I got back to Bible college. And I was able to pay off my bill. I was able to graduate. And praise the Lord, God has allowed us to be a part of three different church plants. But I say all that because the world cannot understand the power of the gospel. They can't understand that it has the power to change lives. And when you think about this word power, when you look here, it's the preaching of the cross. To them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And it's this word that has dunamis. It's this word that means explosive. It's this word that means force. It's this word that means a miracle. It's this word that means strength. It's this word that means mighty. It's this word that means it works. And church, let me tell you tonight, I came here 3 years ago and I said to you, I said, I don't know how God's going to start a church in East Apalapa, Mexico City. I don't know how God's going to save those souls over there. I just believe God's sending me and I have the word of God. I'm going to go ahead and preach the gospel. I'm going to see what happens. And maybe God's going to blow up that Catholic belief. Maybe God's going to blow up that love for the Guadalupana, for the Mary worship. Maybe God's going to go in there and blow up all those ideas and help them understand the gospel, because the preaching of the word of God has power. And I'd say that, saying that, here we go again, church. I come to you tonight casting another vision. God has called us to go to a place that I don't know where we're going to start. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know all the ins and outs. But what I have to say is I'm going with the word of God. I'm going with the power of the gospel. And I know that it changes lives. It's wonderful. It's mighty. My grandpa couldn't understand that. He said, that doesn't have power. That Case tractor has power. No, what has power is the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, I'm sorry, let's look at Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The word of God has power. It has that dynamite power. And what do we preach in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And it says over and over again, according to the scriptures. The word of God is true. And Jesus came to this world to give his life for us, to shed his blood for us. And if we'll believe on him in the finished work of the cross, we can be saved. And that message changes lives. Did it change your life? I know it did mine. Oh, I remember that day. I remember that day on January 7th, 1996, when I walked into a storefront and I didn't know what I was getting into. And I looked up there and I came in with my long hair and my hippie looking self there with my ratty old jeans and my biker chain going off the side there. And I said, what is this old preacher going to teach me? And he got up there and he preached about Jesus. He preached about the cross. He preached about the love of God. And he asked, if you don't know for sure if you have a home in heaven, raise your hand and we'll show you tonight. And I remember raising my hand. I said, I want to know that. And I went forward in that service and I got saved. Changed my life. Because it's the power of the cross. It's the power of Jesus. It's him that saves. And it is the message. And praise the Lord for that old preacher, Pastor Jerry Scheidbach. Praise the Lord. And he doesn't get the glory. The Word of God and Jesus Christ gets the glory. Because it's this message that we preach. I don't preach politics. I preach the cross. And I preach Jesus Christ. And when we go out, we need to preach that. In 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. My understanding of Christ does not stand in what my pastor has taught me. It stands in what the book, the holy book, the Word of God says. And it says he died for me. It says he rose again from the grave. It says that he has power, Jesus Christ has power in heaven and in earth, and that he rose again from the dead, and that he can save me. And I believed on that message. And I know that many would just say it's foolishness, but it has power. Changed my life, changed many of our lives. And again, like I say, I don't know how it's going to work out. All I know is that I go and I just do what God tells me to do, and God does the work. It's not about how eloquent I can speak. It's not with enticing words that Brother Case can say. It's about the power of the Word of God and its power to change lives. I remember showing up in Mexico, and I didn't know how to witness. And I asked Brother Walker, I said, "Hey, Brother Walker, what should I do? I don't know really how to witness." And he said, "Well, take this little track." And he said, "In the back," he said, "this is a John and Romans." He said, "In the back is a Como Ser Salvo." And I said, "Okay." He said, "Yeah, just read that to people." And so I remember my first month, I was just studying this book. And I went out that day, I remember went out with my tutor, Norberto. We knocked on a door. And he said, "Hola, ¿cómo está? Quiero presentar mi amigo Ryan." And he let me just speak. He said, "I just want to present my friend Ryan. He's going to talk to you." And I'm sitting there like, okay. And so I'm sitting there and I said, "Te gustaría conocer Jesucristo como su Salvador?" I said, "Would you like to know Jesus as your Savior?" The person said, "Yeah." Okay. And he invites us in. And we go in and we sit down. And this little thing has check boxes there. And I remember I sat down and I started saying, "Soy yo pecador. Usted es pecador." And he said, "Yeah, I'm a sinner. I said, "Could you read that verse? Because I can't read it." And he read it. We're sitting there an hour going through this. I mean, I have no idea what I'm saying. I'm just trying to read this book. And we get to page 6. And it says there, "Would you like to pray and ask the Lord Jesus into your heart?" And I say, "¿Te gustaría aceptar Jesucristo?" Not, that wasn't as good. "¿Te gustaría conocer Cristo como su Salvador y recibirlo hoy?" And he said, "Yeah." And he read the prayer. I said, "Did you believe that?" He said, "Yeah, I believed it." I said, "So if you died today, where would you go?" He said, "I'd go to heaven because I just believed on Jesus." And you know, some people, they would say, "That's foolishness. That's a bunch of foolishness. You can't even speak Spanish." I know, because it's not about me. It's not with enticing words. It's not what I can do. It's the preaching of the cross. And it has effect. And it'll change this world. And it'll start churches. And it'll help us to go forward. And every time we sacrifice for it, every time we send a missionary, every time you give so your preacher can stand in this pulpit and proclaim the Word of God, every time a Sunday school teacher shows up to a class to preach the Word of God, every time that happens, church, it has value, it has power, and it reaches across this world if we'll just be involved in the gospel. And we have to understand, we have to go out and tell everybody, because if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. It's not hid unto us in 1 Corinthians 4 verses 3 through 6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who hath commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. In your heart. It shines out of you. If we don't preach the gospel, ChatGPT isn't going to do it for us. Facebook's not going to do it for us. Robots are not going to do it for us. We have to shine in this dark world. We have to shine the light of the gospel. We have to go forth. We have to preach the gospel. And finally is this. The world rejects the gospel. They say it's not for today. They say it can reach nobody. They say it's all just foolishness. And when we think about that, look here in verse 21. For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, but it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, this preaching of the word of God, it gives you wisdom from heaven. You know, how can you please God? Could you give him $1 million? Could you give God new lands and houses to please him? But you know what pleases him? The preaching of the gospel. It says it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching that they would know him. But this world wants to reject it. This world wants to say it's no good. But we have an obligation to preach it. In 1 Corinthians 9, 16, 17, it says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against the will, my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. It means the time of the gospel is laid upon the church, and we are the church. This is our dispensation. This is our time. We don't live in the time of the garden of the paradise with Adam and Eve. We don't live in the time of watching Moses and the Ten Commandments and being with the children of God. We don't live in that. We live in the church age. We live in the time of the harvest, the time of the gospel. This dispensation has been given unto us to preach the gospel. And now it's time for us to go out. And that's what we should be busy about. One of the greatest gifts you can offer to this world is the preaching of the gospel, sharing the message of hope and salvation with all who will listen. One of the most precious things you can give to your family is a faithful proclamation of the word of God, nurturing their faith and guiding them in the truth. One of the greatest blessings you can provide to your church is a preacher who will fearlessly proclaim the truth, unwavering in their commitment to God's teaching. The preaching of the word of God has power to build a strong church, to support and strengthen families, and transform the world by drawing people to Jesus Christ and offering them redemption and a renewed purpose in life. The preaching of the gospel has power. The preaching of the gospel has value. The preaching of the gospel can reach everybody. It's still for today. My grandpa didn't understand that. I said, Grandpa, I don't have any money. I don't have a job. I have that broken down old car. And I know God's called me to be a preacher. And he said, what value is in that? Praise the Lord for the souls that have been saved. Amen. Praise the Lord for the churches that have been started. Amen. Praise the Lord for my children who walk in the gospel. Amen. The word of God has power. And I come before you, church, to say, preach the word of God. Support your preacher. Support those missionaries. Get the gospel out. It's worth it. Right. It's worth every dime. Amen. It's worth every moment. It's worth it. It has value, it has power, and it can still reach this world, even though it looks dark. We shine in darkness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for the word of God. Help us to preach it. Help us to understand its power and its value. Help us to understand its magnitude to reach the whole world. Help us not to doubt, but to go forth, Lord. I don't know really all that's going to happen. I don't know, Lord, why you call me to go back to Mexico. But I know that your word has power. And maybe someone here tonight doesn't know why they're in this service. Maybe they don't know why they're in this church. But if they don't know you, it's to hear the word of God and that they might be saved. And if they know you, it's to be encouraged to go out and to preach to others. Help us to be a part of this time that you've given us to preach the gospel to every creature. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.